Sunday the 17th of February 2019, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Doctor's Orders. Sermon title, No One's Left Out. Bible reading, Luke chapter 7 verses 1 to 10. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
This morning's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 1. The faith of the centurion. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell you this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I speak will be your words, and you will speak into each of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our sermon series, Doctor's Orders, and this morning it's No One's Left Out. Well, No One Left Behind is a kind of motto that many firefighters, police and armed forces live by. Whenever they go out on a mission to fight fire, to fight crime or to fight an enemy, they are determined that when it comes to their own, no one will be left behind. Which is, in many ways, the same thought of every Christian, that we ensure that no one is left behind, and all have found salvation in Jesus Christ. Our sermon title this morning, as I said, resembles that motto in many ways, because it is, no one is left out. God's plan for humanity is that no one is left out of his kingdom. There is a place for everyone, regardless of who we are or what we are, or maybe even what we have done. Nothing can keep us from having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ if we so desire. It's about our faith and our walk with God that counts, which came across in our reading. Here we see someone who is not Jewish, but unlike most Roman soldiers, he did not despise Jews. He respected them, and he was drawn to their religion. He was generous in building a synagogue, which he himself could never enter. But more than that, he had a deep concern for his servant, when at the time servants were treated as disposable tools. And if one died, so what? There was always another one just around the corner. Even though this was a centurion with great power, he was amazingly humble. He would not approach Jesus himself, but sent friendly Jewish leaders. He had heard about Jesus and believed that he had been sent from God. And the message he was proclaiming was from God for all humanity, and therefore knew that if anyone could help his servant, it was him. But he felt unworthy to to go himself. However, the Jewish elders had missed the point in many ways as to why Jesus had come, because they thought that this centurion deserved to have special attention because he's a wonderful person, and out of his own pocket he has built a synagogue. He loves our nation. They reminded Jesus of all that he has done. Surely he deserves some special treatment, doesn't he? That's their line of argument, isn't it? The centurion has lived a certain life and acted a certain way. Now he has earned the right to be given privileged treatment, which is the same kind of thinking that is still widely held today. If you do good to others, good should come back to you. Blessings should come to those who deserve it. Privileges should be earned. But hang on a moment. What would happen if we applied that kind of thinking to our relationship with Jesus? Do you think he would be impressed if we had a fantastic CV which listed all the good things that we have done and why we should have preference over others? Well, let me tell you, if we had to rely on our own good works, then we would all fall short of God's expectations of us. It's not about trusting in our own works and abilities, because if it were, none of us would make it into the kingdom of God. All our abilities are insufficient, because it's not about what we do, but more importantly, it's about our relationship with God through Jesus and how we live our lives following his teachings and believing in his promises. Jesus' sole mission on earth was to preach the good news and bring us back into a relationship with God through his death and resurrection, taking all our sins to the cross with him, giving us a clean slate, if you like, and therefore opened up the gates of heaven for us to enter into eternity with God. A minister dies, and dressed in his robes, he waits in line at the pearly gates. Just ahead of him is a guy dressed in sunglasses, a loud shirt, a leather jacket and jeans. St. Peter asks, "Who are you?" so that I may know whether you to admit you or not into the kingdom of heaven. He replies, "Well, I'm Joe Green, taxi driver of New York." St. Peter consults his list, smiles and says to the taxi driver, "Take this silken robe and golden staff and enter into the kingdom." The minister is next in line, but without even being asked, he proclaims, "I'm Michael O'Connor, head pastor of St. Mary for the last 43 years. St. Peter consults his list and says, "Take this cotton robe and wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." "Just a minute," says the preacher. "That man was a taxi driver and you issued him a silken robe and a golden staff. But I get wooden and cotton? How can this be?" "Up here, we go by results," says St. Peter. "While you preached, people slept. While he drove, people prayed." Took a while for that one to go. We can never earn our way into heaven, and we certainly don't deserve it. But one of the things we desperately need to have is faith in the work of the cross. We are in a much better position than in many ways this centurion was, because we have God's word to help us. We understand why Jesus had to die for us. We have the Bible telling us about the works of Jesus and how we can walk with him. But here we have a man who had not been brought up in the religion or understood the scriptures, but someone who had heard about Jesus and believed that he could make a difference and recognised that he did not even have to have him enter into his house, but to just say the word and his servant would be healed. It was this amazing faith that the centurion had in Jesus that caused Jesus to utter these words in verse 9. I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. The centurion was probably one of the most unlikely persons to amaze Jesus. He was a Gentile. Doubtless he had a pagan upbringing. He was a Roman stationed in Palestine to subject the Jews to the emperor's rule. He was a man of war. He achieved the rank of centurion by distinguishing himself above others in the brutal Roman martial arts. Not exactly the resume you'd expect for becoming one of the Bible's greatest heroes of faith. However, he understood the authority of Jesus. He knows that Jesus is in complete control of all things, including sickness. If Jesus makes the command, it will happen. If Jesus decides not to make the command, then who are we to argue? In a very simple way, the centurion is making it clear that he understands his place before Jesus. And Jesus is a person of authority. And regardless of what he had done or not done, Jesus recognized his sincerity and faith, which is the same faith and sincerity we need to display on a daily basis. Someone once said, faith hears the inaudible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Max Lucado, in his book 6 Hours, One Friday, tells the story of how he and his boat survived a hurricane. An old seaman gave Max the advice to take his boat to deep water and to drop 4 anchors off each corner of the boat and pray that the anchors held. Max survived that storm, but he says that he learned an important lesson in that all of us need an anchor that will hold during the storms of life. The anchor is our faith in Jesus. I wonder, what have you put your faith in? How important is it to have faith? Where do we find a faith strong enough to make it through the storms of life? Of course, the answer is Jesus. We are all equally important to God. No one is left out. We're not in the school playground picking friends to be in our team, but we are part of God's team, his kingdom. And he wants all of us to succeed, to be the best that we can. And that might mean that we have to take a leap of faith at times and trust that God knows what is best for us. It's about coming before God in humility, recognizing our shortcomings, but with a willing heart, ready to trust Jesus with all areas of our life, having faith in him, and that he can and does make a difference in the lives of all those who know and love him. There are many pages throughout scripture that remind us of people of faith. Take, for example, in Matthew's gospel, the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had heard about Jesus and she came up behind him and she reached out her hand and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his cloak, I know I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus knew strength had been taken from him, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Abraham is mentioned several times in the Bible for some of the great things he accomplished. And Romans 4 says that he was saved because of his faith and not because of his works. Moses did not see himself as the man God could use to take on an important task of rescuing his people. However, through faith, he led the Israelites to freedom. We have the story of the spies who were sent out to spy the land. 10 said, "No, it can't be done." But 2 of them trusted in the Lord and said, "Yes, yes, it can be done." Their faithfulness teaches us that we are to stand up for God even when others will not. Joshua 6:20 explains about the walls of Jericho, and when they fell, it was because Joshua trusted God and his word. He led the nation of Israel as a man of faith. Then we have Esther, who said that she would stand up for her people, even if it meant death. She trusted God to guide her in everything, revealing the evil plot against her people. By faith, Esther boldly revealed her heritage as a child of God's people, the Jews, and also because of that, she stopped the wicked plan of Haman. Of course, there are many other stories about faith and trust in the Lord, and I wonder if we compared ourselves to any of these faithful people, where would we stack up? Do we fully realise it's not about how good we are or what we have achieved, but about our faith and trust in God through Jesus? Do we trust him completely with our lives, allowing him to reign over everything? Is our faith as big as a mustard seed? Because if it is, God can use it and grow it, and through his amazing grace we can achieve all things, and our salvation is secure when we humble ourselves before him. I wonder, has anyone seen the movie Ghost, starring Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore? Early in the movie, Patrick dies and becomes a ghost. Near the end of the movie, Demi has to let him go as he walks into a group of people standing in a bright light. Obviously, Patrick deserved to go to heaven, despite the fact that no mention was ever made of religion, of Christ, church, or anything. The only qualification Patrick had was that he was a pretty nice guy who treated Demi well, and he didn't kill anyone. That's how many people want God to work, that we get into heaven because we are pretty decent people. But as soon as we start thinking and saying things like, "I deserve to be treated well by God," or "Those people are good and they deserve to be accepted," or "that they have given a lot to charity and help in so many ways. They deserve good treatment by God." But when we go down that path, aren't we turning Christianity into a competition? And in any competition, there's always going to be those who are better than you, stronger than you, and those who always win. Not so with God. We are all on equal footings. It's not God's plan for any one of us to be left out, but to be drawn ever closer to Him. He has given us the tools we need. All we need to do is to implement them. God does not pick and choose between us. We are all important to Him, and He values and loves us. That's why He gave us His Son, who is the very image, the radiance, the glory, who represents God, whose love endures forever. A love that is perfect. It leaves no one out. Think of our own lives. While we were enemies of God, in other words, before we acknowledged Him as our Lord and Saviour, He still lavished His love on us in Jesus. God loves you. It's true. And it's equally true that God loves your enemies with the same intensity. God's saving, redeeming, transforming love is active in the lives of our enemies. And God invites us to be a part of His amazing love for all humanity, to live that love and let it be seen in our actions towards others, not as an optional extra, but as a central response to God's grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You love us unconditionally. Father, we thank You that You want each and every one of us to come before You, to seek You, to have faith in Your works, to follow You, and to grow Your kingdom here on earth. Father, You have called each one of us to do Your work here. Help us, Lord, to go out in that faith, to draw Your people into Your kingdom, and to ensure that no one is left out. Father, only You, by Your Spirit, can You help us to be strong enough to do Your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.